with you is prayer. I want to talk to you about prayer this morning because it's going to be a series of lessons on prayer. But what I have discovered is that we need to know more about what prayer really is, to understand how God responds to us when we talk to him. How does he respond to us? So we need to talk about that. It's a series I would like to present because I don't know how many weeks we'll be here. But the aspect I want to deal with today is, does God answer our prayers? And I'm going to need help. Not Lester alone will not be the only person. I don't know if Brother Fisher can help Lester up at the front here. But I'm going to need help with the reading of the, because there's a lot of passages. I don't know if Lester alone can manage all of the passages, because I need them very quickly, one behind the other. So I'm going to need help with the reading. Now, what I'm going to deal with today is the question, does God answer our prayers? It was meant, but appeared to be a one lesson, but realizing I may have to end about 10:35 or so, giving us enough time for announcements to be made, I think that this aspect may have to be continued also next week, although it was not meant to be a two-part. Now, our situation as human beings, not just at Patrick City, but our situation as human beings, we have what we call, Brother Morrison, the human condition. And the human condition, Brother Long, is going to have us sick sometimes. We're going to have challenges, financial challenges. We are going to have family difficulties. Am I right, Alicia? We're going to have problems at the workplace. We're going to have problems in the marriages, even as Christians. We're going to have a lot of challenges. And these challenges now, we are going to take them to God. Right? Right, Brother Law? We're going to take them to God in prayer for some kind of answer. And we also have, in addition to the physical needs, Brother Peart, we also have spiritual needs that we need God to help us with. We need to have more spiritual maturity. We need to have more spiritual growth. We need to have more understanding of each other as Christians. Am I correct? So we have a better relationship, even as brothers and sisters. Right, Sister Reed? Good. So we need to have all of these things. So we go to God in prayer for our common human conditions, Brother Bean, and also for spiritual, for more spiritual growth, for more spiritual development. Now, what can happen if we don't understand, listen carefully now, if we do not understand how God responds to our prayers, we may feel that God has not answered our prayers at all. And if we feel that way, we can then become, almost I put it, disappointed with God and become less distance away from God. Let me say it again. If we do not understand how God responds to our prayers, because God has different ways, you know, to respond to our prayer. And if we don't understand that, that can get you very weak. So it's very important as Christians that we understand how God responds to our prayers. We have to understand that. Because as we go through different crises in life and we approach God in prayer and we don't get what we want or what we think, how we should respond, then we make it become weak. I have gone through personally a lot. And I'm sure that you can say the same for yourselves, that as Christians, you have gone through a lot, you know, a lot of challenges, and you are still here. We are still serving God because we sort of know how God answers our prayers. Now, let me tell you where we will be going. I don't think we'll ever complete this, but let me tell you where we are going. We are going to look at three ways in which God will answer our prayers. We may say, God may answer us, and God may say, no. That's the tricky one, you know. He may say, no.
And because he says no, we believe now that he has not responded. We would be very wrong. And this is something, Karen, I think you can also share with our Sunday school children. By the way, Karen is doing a wonderful job. You know, I departed from Alyssa for a while to commend Karen. I'm very proud of Karen in the Sunday school. She has taken it on as a teacher, and she's doing very well. So keep on praying for all the teachers, guys. Yes. So God may say no. And when he says no, it doesn't mean that he has not responded. And we're going to be talking about that. Then God will say yes. God will say yes, but when he says yes to us, there are two or three different situations where God will say yes. And we'll talk about that. Write that down. Listen, some of you write it. There may be two or three situations when God may say yes. Then God may say what? Anybody can guess what the third one would be? God may say wait. So God may say no, that does not mean it's not a response. God may say yes. And in that context of yes, there are about three different situations we need to look at. And God may say wait. So that is where we are going in the lesson for today. But as I said to you, with time constraint, I doubt I will get to complete this lesson today. Now, let us now look, as I've said, we all have the human condition. All of us, at some time or the other, we are going to get sick. Yes, because all of us are going to die, you know. We're going to get sick. At some point or the other, we're going to have challenges. And Christians do have challenges with their families, with their children, with their wives, with family members. We're going to have challenges at work. Right now, I'm having challenges at work. I've never worked so hard in my life. The nurses, I sang for those who said a prayer. The nurses and the doctors and the teachers and the police are under extreme pressure. So we have problems, we have challenges, even as Christians. And we take those challenges to God. Does he hear us? Is he concerned about us? That is the essence of this lesson. And when we go to him about the spiritual things, does he care? Now, this lesson is also inspired by what Brother Mitchell is doing when he says God has a wish list for us. Remember that Wednesday night Bible study? It's God has a wish list for us. So it's inspired by that, but we have to understand how does he deal with our prayer. But what is prayer? Let us look at how we would describe prayer now. So here are not going to need the passages now for you to help me with. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 to 3. And someone else turn to Psalm chapter 62. All of you turn your Bible here. The first one, 2 Kings chapter 20. We're going to read the passage first. Verse, you have it, Lester? Verse 1 to 3. You have it, brother? All right, read it for me, please. Yeah, and the second one is Psalm 62, verse 8. Let me hear 2 Kings first.
Sorry. Verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death.
Yes.
And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live.
Yes.
Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember, now that I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore.
And look at verse 3. In verse 3, he uses a very important word. He uses a word, church, that says, I beseech. All of you see that word? I beseech. So in prayer, there is a beseeching taking place in prayer. So you could describe prayer, church, as a beseeching. Now, what is beseeching? Beseeching has the connotation or the meaning of something urgent, something fervent. It's like you can't wait. It's so urgent. It's a beseeching. It's like you are very ill, and you have an emergency case. Actually, I've seen things like that sometimes. Sister Bean is here? Yeah, perhaps Sister Bean sees some things like that. And the patient come into the medical ward, and they are in such pain. They say, "Doctor, I beg you, look after me now. I feel like I'm going to die. I beg you." That's the term of beseeching. And sometimes they go up to the ward, and because of the resource problem, Brother Bean, in the hospitals, the doctors and nurses are stretched thin. But this person is crying to you and say, "I beseech you." That is happening in the COVID as well, you know, in the United States. When I hear they say they don't have enough bed, Brother Peart, to put the patients on. They don't have enough ventilator. These people are beseeching. No, it has happened to me too. I remember once, I'm asthmatic. I've not had a severe attack for about 2-3 years now. But one year, Karen, I had a severe asthmatic attack. Monica was not at home. Nobody was at home. And I felt like I was going to die. And my chest, and I jumped into the car. I was driving at the time. I jumped in the car, and I rushed to Duane Park Clinic. I want you to sense what the word beseeching means. So I'm giving you examples of beseeching. And I rushed into, and I don't know how I reached the hospital, Brother B. I don't know how I reached there. I don't know. I remember going into the car. It's a serious story, you know. I don't mean to ask anybody. But I remember going into the car at Mount Terry Avenue, and I remember reaching at the hospital. Seriously, I was in such agony with the pain in my lungs. And when I reached there, I saw lots of people in front of me. I could barely talk because I couldn't get any breath in nor out. So I was beseeching, even in that situation, I was beseeching for help. Somebody help me. Because normally I would go to the hospital, my private doctor at Angels. But the closest place I could think of was Duane Park Health Clinic. And I was beseeching, and the doctors and nurses saw my condition and responded to my beseeching and begging. So beseeching has a concept of, you know, urgency. 2 years ago when I got very ill, and I couldn't walk, and I was in a lot of pain. That's the time now. I remember, like just like this Jacobite over up here, I remember, you know, praying to God and beseeching. And I was actually in tears at one point because I was saying, "Will I not be able to work again?" It felt like that. It felt like I would not be able to work or function normally. So that was a beseeching. So prayer has an element of beseeching in it. Right? It's like you're begging God. And the beseeching now, you don't beseech somebody who don't have the power to grant your wish. So next thing again. You beseech somebody who you know had the power to deliver. So when I went to the hospital, when I went to the health clinic and I'm beseeching and I saw the crowd, Sister Martin, it would be foolish of me to go to somebody in the crowd and say, "Can you help me, please? I'm asthmatic, I can't breathe." Would that make sense, Sister Martin? It wouldn't make any sense. Why it wouldn't make any sense? That person does have any power to help me. That person doesn't have any power to help me, Sister Bean. So when I'm sure in your practice, when people come there, they don't turn to the other patients, do they now? No. They beseech a person who they know can deliver the help. So that is why he said in verse 3, read verse 3 again for me, please. Quickly.
Verse 3?
Yes, of the same 2 Kings 20.
"I beseech thee, O Lord."
Stop. "I beseech you, O Lord." You are the supreme being. You are the one I'm beseeching. There's nobody else who can help me in this situation. So you are the one I'm beseeching. So prayer has that kind of connotation. It is a beseeching, which is an urgent plea. When we pray for Audrey, it's a beseeching, you know. Brother Marsh, that was a beautiful prayer this morning, by the way. And in that prayer, I always like to hear your prayer, that calm, it's that tone. But it's not the tone, you know, means that it's not a beseeching, you know. Brother Morrison was beseeching on behalf of the membership. Am I correct, church? Talk to me, no man. Am I correct? Yes. No, I don't like when people are responding, you know. And you are beseeching, Brother Morrison was beseeching on behalf of so many members. Right? That is a beseeching. It need not shout, you know. Some people believe you have to shout in the prayer. No. It's your desire coming out to God. So you're beseeching God. Now, the other aspect of the prayer, I'm only going to be in the introduction today, is look at 2 Kings now, chapter 20. Sorry, you read that one already a while ago. Look at Psalm 62 and verse 8. Psalm 62 and verse 8.
Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him.
Oh my God.
God is a refuge for us.
Yes. Yes. He is a what for us?
Refuge for us.
He's a refuge for us. Look at it again. Psalm 62, verse. It deserves a second reading, brother. Please read it one more time for me. Psalm 62. Read it one more time for me, please.
Trust in him.
Yes.
At all times.
At all. Sorry. Stop. What, this lesson is not going to go any further. Sorry, guys. I have to apologize. I'm not going to reach a part where the yes or the no or the wait. No, but not my style. We're not going to reach a yes or no or the wait. I like to teach. So I want to make sure you get even a little aspect here. So in Psalm 62, verse 8, he says, trust in him. When you're having good times, does it say that, Sister Martin? Does it say that, Sister Reed? Trust in him when you're only having wonderful times. No. Trust in him at all times. Even when the time is uncertain, you trust in him. So you trust in him at all times. Even when you don't know what's going to happen, you know, you trust in him at all times. Church, this week when I saw, I was overwhelmed, Brother Pierre. I didn't just come, but I say I was overwhelmed. Because they said to us, we learned like 1.5 weeks ago that CXC, and I realized that if every school is putting their own deadline, that the C set grade for CXC is due on the 16th, which was last week, Friday. You remember, teachers teach 2 grades. The CAP grade is due on the 20th, which is Tuesday. And all the grades for every class, for every student you teach, is due on their school system on the 21st. So you're talking, this is about, normally, I've never seen this in my years of teaching. Normally, you would get the deadline date, like 2 months, 3 months before. So you can pace yourself. You can pace yourself and pace your teaching. And especially the way I teach, I like to teach in little bits. Little pieces and bits. I don't like to teach everything one time. Remember I was saying about Karen? I like to teach in bits and pieces. And to pace myself properly. And to give all 3-4 feedback in drafts. So students can know what they are doing. When they told me a week ago, Brother Long, that is the 20th, I could not believe it. I run up to the school same time. This following day, I heard it Wednesday, I run to the school and say, is this true? They said, yes. And I've been waking up because I want to give my students feedback, proper feedback. I've been waking up every morning. I know I'm talking, I feel weak, you know. I've been waking up in the mornings like 3:15 in the mornings. Right through the day, Monica, sorry for me. Right through the day, Thursday, I felt lightheaded, I have to go and lie down. It's serious, but even that time of serious stress, even in this time when the nurses, I can't imagine the nurse and the doctor. Even in this time with overwork, we still must do what? Trust in him. That's what keeps me going, you know. Trust in, and I just said to myself, church, I said I'm not going to overwork myself. I said I'm going to pace myself. After that Thursday lightheaded experience, I said I'm going to pace myself. If I meet it, I like to meet my deadlines, you know. So that's the problem. If I don't meet it, if I meet it, great. If I don't meet it, so be it. I can't work humanly possible. You know, I have to be possible. What is humanly possible? But one thing I know, I have to trust in him, even at that time, even in this time. So the passage says, trust. You have to make a Christianity real to you, you know. You have to apply your Christianity to you, to your situation. It's not a theoretical book, you know, not just something. That's how you grow. So you have to trust in him. It's things that he used to show us that he's our God. So you trust in him. Continue for me again, Lester. At all what?
At all times.
Continue.
Ye people.
What else must we do?
Pour out your heart before him.
Tell him everything. Tell him everything. He knows everything. But he wants us to tell him still. He knows everything about us in the church. But he wants us to tell him. So he used the word, pour it out, bawl it out, tell him everything. Don't hold back anything. Pour it out to him at all times. Even you are successful, even you're not going through any stress, you pour out everything to him at all times. Why? Because he is our refuge. He's the only one that can give us the refuge. So you pour out everything to him at all times. The first place I went to teach it, Brother Bean, I only gave the introduction. I'm very sorry, church. Now, what else is prayer? So we see that prayer is a beseeching. We see that prayer is a pouring out. And that is what we do. When we pray here at Patrick City now, I see it in every prayer. I see it in every prayer here that when the people are praying, you can see the pouring out. You can see the beseeching. It don't need a loud voice. I can say that again. It doesn't need a loud voice to mean it's not pouring out. It's pouring out. And it's a beseeching. Prayer now, listen to this one now. Prayer is both a privilege for the Christian and prayer is also a commandment. Please write that down for me if you're writing. So prayer is a privilege that we have as Christians. The unbelievers don't have that privilege. Some of them might think they have it, but they don't. So prayer is a privilege, but it's also a command. Let's look at some passages now. I need the passage. Bam, 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 bam. Our time. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Let me hear that one. Let me hear Philippians 4, 6. I believe that's the one I want. So Romans 12 and verse 12. And Philippians 4 and verse 6. Let me hear the one in Romans first.
Rejoicing in hope.
Yes.
Patient in tribulation.
Yes.
Continuing instant in prayer.
Yes. Stop. That is showing the command and the privilege at the same time. Because in verse 9, the context is from verse 9, Brother B, where he says, let love be without dissimulation. So that let is almost like a command. Eh? Let this be done. So let love be without, and he continues the thought right through now until he reached verse 12. The Christians, we as Christians, Brother Long, we must rejoice in hope. Am I correct, Brother Long? We must rejoice in hope. We need to do that. We need to be patient in our tribulation. Some of us have some tribulation, you see. And it's like we always pray to God. Somebody might say, oh, that sister never out of that problem yet. That brother never out of that problem here. God is still using those. I don't want to go before myself in the lesson to come next week. But God is using those to strengthen us, you know. He knows best for us, you know. He always knows at least the best for us. So sometimes we wish a tribulation is over in a day. Tribulation can last for years, months and years. But sometimes without that tribulation, we may never have grown and become spiritually a giant. So we still must be patient. That's where we wait on God, you know. Patient in what? tribulation. It requires patience. It requires patience. Continue for me, please.
Distributing to the necessity of the saints.
Yes.
Given to hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
Bless them which persecute you.
Yes.
Bless and curse not.
Yes. So it has all of what we need. Talk about, and then look at verse 8. It says, if it be possible, as much as light in you, live what?
Peacefully with all men.
Right? But in verse 12 is the one that says, continuing how in prayer?
Patient in tribulation, yeah. Continuing instant in prayer.
Continuing instant. It's a commandment and a privilege. It's a commandment and a privilege that we continue instant in prayer. If we don't know how to pray, that's the next aspect I need to touch on, but not today. Because we need to do a lesson. How do we pray? How do we get to, especially for a young convert? When I used to teach young converts class, that always come up. How do I pray? It's like we're not seeing the person we're talking to. How do you pray? That's the next lesson, to show you how to pray. And that will bring you closer and closer yet still to God. But in this lesson now, I just want you to realize here that prayer is a commandment and it's also a privilege. Let's look at the other passage. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Quickly.
Be careful.
Yes.
For nothing.
Yes.
But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Of course. Let your requests be made known unto God. God wants us to talk to us, you know. He wants the communication. He knows what we want, you know. But he wants us to say it to him. Am I right, Alicia? He wants us to say to him, let your request be known unto God. What is supplication? In the Bible, you use the word supplication. It is asking, fervently asking or begging. Again, you're not going to beg the person who can't deliver. You're going to beg the person who can deliver. And God certainly can deliver. Right? So that is a supplication. And there are other passages. I'm going to give you these passages to write down. I don't think we're going to touch some of them today. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Write these passages down. I may ask to read one or two of them because time. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. And Hebrews chapter 4, 14 and 16. So it's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, and Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through to verse 16. Let me hear Ephesians chapter 6.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication.
Pray always with all what?
Prayer and supplication.
Pray always. The Christian must always pray. We must always take the example from Christ, you know. Christ is always praying. Not just when he came to church. He's always praying. So we have to start to learn how to do that. I'll do a lesson on that one day. How do we start? We're going to start it from the beginners. Just like we started a new subject for the first time. We have to learn how to do that as well. So how do we begin that journey of the prayer life? So we must, because it's required of us. Remember that command, you know, it's required of us. To do it sometimes. Does it say that, brother?
All.
Read it again, man.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication.
Always. And so that builds you up. It builds you up. It gives you that build, that firm foundation. I'm going to stop here because we're going to need enough time to do announcements and so on. When I come back next week, I'm going to pick up the other two passages I didn't do today. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, Hebrews 4, 4, and 16. I'll do a recap, and then I will now go into the lesson. I told you. We're going to now go into the lesson of how does he answer our prayers. The no. We're going to start with the no next week. The no and the yes, and give it the three different situations with the yes and the wait. So next week now we continue. Do not miss next week's lesson at all. Try to be here. And if you can get your notebook and write stuff, I see some people writing, that will help you a great deal. So take care, everyone. So I'll see you again to continue lesson next week.